Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. I'm Jim Chapman, and today I thought it would be interesting to kind of give you some information on what is my favorite subject. It's kind of sad to say that, but I mean, the criminal mind just intrigues me beyond belief, and serial killers especially, just the horrid way that they think blows my mind. And I've always kind of dug into serial killers. And I'm sure a lot of you are the same way. And that's why we love each other so much, because we all have that morbid obsession with crime, I guess, and that sort of thing. But we're going to get into it today with serial killers. I'm going to give you a lot of stats and some really interesting information that I have researched. And I guess first, I'm going to tell you what kind of defines a serial killer. So before 2005, the number of victims for a killer to have would be three. They had to kill three people that were not related by any way, shape, or form. They weren't necessarily friends. They weren't necessarily family. They were killed at different times, at different places. Most times, they didn't know each other. The serial killer had no relation to them. These were just random killings. So you had to have three before 2005 before you were considered a serial killer. And then after 2005, the FBI actually changed that to two. So two or more. that have absolutely no relation to each other, they'll classify you as serial killer. Now, there are other classifications there. You have mass killings, and mass killings are considered 4+ victims. One event in one location. So, sadly, tragically, the school shootings where you hear, you know, 10 people were killed and it was at one school, it was one particular event, that's a mass killing. Okay, whereas serial killers, 2+ victims, 2 separate events, 2 separate locations. And then you also have sprees, shooting sprees, where you have, and they consider that 2+ victims, one event, but 2+ locations. So I remember covering something on Real Life Real Crime Daily recently where it was a bank robbery. The guy robbed the bank, killed a couple of people, left the bank, went down the road, and then he ended up hiding out in a shopping center of some sort, and then he killed someone else. That's a spree. That's a killing spree. 2+ locations, one event, 2+ victims. So that's kind of the different types of killers. We're going to focus on serial killers today on this episode. And I'm going to give you some stats on the frequency of serial killers. And it's interesting, the rise in serial killers over a short time period. So prior to, from 1826 to 2004, in the United States, this is just in the United States, of what they're aware of, they had 352 male serial killers and 64 female serial killers. Then from 1970 to 2004, they had 158 males and 30 females. So shorter time period by a lot, right? That's way less, you know, 1826 to 2004, you're talking about almost 200 years. In just 34 years, they had almost half of that. So I think in that stat that I just gave you, some of that can be attributed to news travels fast nowadays. In 1840, it took forever to find out you had a serial killer on the loose. The technology wasn't there to find them a lot of times. So take that stat for what it is. I would venture to say there were a lot more in that 200-year time period that nobody knew about, and I'm sure you'd agree with that. From 1800 to 1995, internationally, they've had 300 serial killers. Internationally, outside of the United States. And then overall, they've had 2,257 serial killers, with 1,353 being from the United States and everywhere else making up 904. Again, take that stat for what you will. United States has the best software, the best tracking, probably the best detectives of anywhere in the world. So you're going to catch them a lot quicker and a lot with a lot more frequency. So internationally, probably a lot of them just haven't or never were caught yet. You may wonder, what's the average age for a serial killer for their first kill? And a lot of people think that starts at a very young age. 18, 19. And we're not talking about animals. A lot of serial killers do start out killing animals, abusing animals, but human beings, the average age, 29 years old, which surprised me. I thought it would be much younger. I figured it would be early 20s, but 29 years old is the average age of a first kill. And here's an interesting stat. 9 is the youngest serial killer known. It's a guy by the name of Robert Del Segee, S-E-G-E-E, if you want to go research him. He was the youngest serial killer on record. The oldest is a guy by the name of Ray Copeland, 72 years old. Now, there was also a guy by the name of Jesse Pomeroy. He was from Boston. This was in the late 1870s, and he had killed two people and tortured eight people by the age of 14 and got caught, got sentenced to not only life in prison, but solitary confinement for life, and he actually spent 58 years in solitary. He died at the age of 72. So what about females? Females are pretty close to males as far as average age. 30.7 is the average age of the first kill for a female. And the youngest female, Mary Flora Bell. She was 11 when she was convicted of being a serial killer. 66 is the oldest, a lady by the name of Faye Copeland. So that's some pretty interesting information. And then you may wonder, race-wise, what are serial killers made up of? So of the convicted serial killers, 65.8% are white, 27.9% are black, 4.9% Hispanic, 0.7% Asian, and 0.7% Native American. Now, that's U.S. stats. If you go globally, 65% is still the count for whites. The black serial killers actually drop to 20%. Hispanics go up a little bit to 5.4%. Asians go way up, 8.8% internationally. So let's talk about profiling for a minute. And there's some issues. Profiling is not perfect. Sometimes it works perfect, but there are a lot of cases where profiling is incorrect. One high-profile case here locally was the Derek Todd Lee case. When Derek Todd Lee, he was eventually convicted of killing seven females, although it's thought there were many more they just couldn't tie him to. But when these killings were in their peak, the FBI released a profile of a white man, and Derek Todd Lee was not white. They even came out with a profile on the type of vehicle he drove, which was a white truck, and that was based upon someone who was hypnotized. In under hypnosis, they were called seeing Derek Todd Lee. It's a long story there, but ended up every white guy in a white truck in the Baton Rouge area was swabbed for DNA, and the serial killer, Derek Todd Lee, was not white. He was black. And what about IQ? Are serial killers smarter than the rest of us? Well, not really. The average serial killer has an IQ of 98.7, which is about average. And as far as methods of killing, it's almost even between like guns and hands, which would be considered knives and things like that, but almost dead even between the two, no pun intended. But there have been some really smart, IQ-wise, serial killers over time. Who was the smartest, you may wonder? Well, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, would be the smartest on record as far as his IQ is concerned at 165. Genius level IQ. 160, Charlene Gallego, female serial killer. And the reason I'm reading these names to you, you may want to research them. Carol Cole, 152. And I'll give you some of the more high profile. Ed Kemper, 136. Of course, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based off of Ed Kemper. How about Ted Bundy? Probably the most prolific serial killer of all time, and he was no dummy. He had an IQ of 136. So that's just a few of the serial killers that are more well-known and what their IQs were. So let me give you some not-so-smart ones that horribly flunked their IQ test. Derek Todd Lee, IQ was 91, well below average. Charles N.G., look him up. Some people may have heard of him. IQ of 75. And there's a bunch more on that list that were way down there, but no one that really sticks out as prolific. And this is a really interesting stat for you as well. Birth order. So the first born child is the most common of serial killers. It is summertime, and you can cut down on your time in the kitchen so you can get back to enjoying the summertime sunshine thanks to HelloFresh's quick and easy recipes. Every week's menu features options that are ready in just 20 minutes or less. That's even quicker than delivery. Heading out for vacation? No problem. Just update your delivery address and enjoy easy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. Look, going to the grocery store, searching for ingredients, for me, well, it always ends up like a trip to the dentist, painful and time-consuming. That's why I turn to HelloFresh. The time I save not researching how much garlic to add to my spaghetti or what aisle the ginger root is on allows me more time to research the largest maximum security prison in America, and I love that. And that crunchy, hot honey chicken? Don't even get me started on how good that meal is. Go to HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
32.3% of all serial killers that have been convicted were the firstborn. The middleborn, 28.4%. The youngest, 26%. And if you're an only child, well, you've got a good chance of not being a serial killer. Only 13% of only childs were serial killers. Think about what the relation is there. I'm surprised the middleborn was not the one, though, because that's usually the one that gets left out of everything. But if you're an only child, you get all that attention, right, from your parents. It reflects in this. Only 13% were only children. How about child abuse? Does it have a relation to serial killers? Well, actually, it does. And I mean a big one. Of all those convicted of being serial killers, 36% of them had physical abuse at some time in their childhood. 26% of them had sexual abuse. 50% of them had psychological abuse. And 18% of them had neglect. So over the general population, you may say, well, what about people that aren't serial killers? Only 6% had physical abuse, 3% sexual, 2% psychological, and 18% neglect. So let's talk about some of the more prolific ones, and I'll give you a little information on them, and we'll start with Henry Lee Lucas. Now, when he was 3 years old, and this relates to the child abuse aspect of things, his mother would force him to watch her have sex with strangers. At 7 years old, his mother made him go to school dressed like a girl, and his mother beat him when his teacher gave him a pair of shoes. When he was 10 years old, his mother's lover showed him how to kill animals and then have sex with them. Damn. No wonder that guy turned out the way he did. How about Danny Rawling? At 6 months, his father kicked him into a wall. At 1 year old, he beat him when he crawled funny. At 6 to 8 years old, his father beat him twice a week. And at 13 years old, his father handcuffed him to his brother, beat him, and left him outside. Now, I'll give you one more. A guy by the name of Robert Garrow. So at 1 year old, his father made him kneel for hours in the corner. At 2 years old, his mother split his head open with a crowbar during a beating. At 5 years old, he was knocked unconscious when his mother hit him in the head with a piece of wood. And at 6 years old, he was beaten unconscious by his father and made to wear his sister's bloomers out to play. Now, look, this ain't to make anybody feel sorry for him. That's horrible. But it doesn't excuse him killing multiple people, right? But it does speak to childhoods having a direct effect on how someone reacts when they grow up. And there's many different types of serial killers. One of them is psychotic. They're told to kill, right? Most times they're paranoid schizophrenics, and that makes up about 1% of killers. They would fall in that psychotic range. Three that you may or may not have heard of, Abair Moland, Miguel Riviera, and Joseph Callinger. So you may say, well, what did they do? And I say Abair because that's how we say it here. It's probably Herbert. Herbert Moland operated during 1972 and 1973. He killed 13 people in California. He shot most of his victims. And he said voices told him to shave his head and burn his penis with a cigarette. And he obeyed. He also said voices told him to kill in order to prevent catastrophic earthquakes. Yeah. Wow. Joseph Callinger, he operated during 1974 and 1975, and he murdered three in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, one of those even being his own son. He robbed and assaulted many others, and his 13-year-old son was an accomplice. And he said he was told by God through a large floating head with tentacles to murder young boys and sever their genitals. I would definitely say he classifies as psychotic, right? How about Harvey Carnegie, known as the one-egg killer? And he operated in Seattle from 1973 to 1974. He was convicted of killing three people, probably many more, and he would smash their skull with a hammer. He did that in all three cases that he was convicted of. And he claims he was told by God to kill women, but God didn't tell him why. So that's one type of serial killer. Let me give you another type, and they're called missionaries. And they kill to, quote unquote, clean up the world. Just some quick examples of that. There was a guy by the name of Joseph Franklin. He killed interracial couples and African Americans only, and he wounded Vernon Jordan and Larry Flint. Of course, Larry Flint, the founder and owner of Hustler magazine. There was also a guy by the name of Wolfgang Abel. He killed only drug addicts. And then a guy that was known as the Axeman of New Orleans, and he killed 11 people, most Italian grocers. This was way back in the day. And their whole premise was, we're cleaning up the world. We're getting rid of drug addicts, right? This other guy, Joseph Franklin, I'm getting rid of the founder of Hustler magazine and black people. I mean, they're just nuts, man. And then there's what's known as hedonists, and they kill for just fun or profit, and they're typically lust killers. So they kill for sexual gratification. They could be what's known as organized killer, and we'll get into that in a minute, or they could be disorganized killers or a mix of the both. And typically they kill just for that thrill, y'all. It's just for the thrill of it. They get off on just the excitement of killing. So I'll give you some high profile examples of lust killers, and they're probably where you would hear. Those are probably the type of killers that you would hear the most because the lust aspect of it, right? Everybody's intrigued by that. And you have organized lust killers. Ted Bundy was a good example of that. John Wayne Gacy was a good example of that. Ed Kemper was a good example of that. And then you have some that are disorganized, what you would consider disorganized. Jeffrey Dahmer would be an example of that, as well as Danny Rawling. And some of these are known as Black Widows. And these are female serial killers that they're known as hedonist gang killers. They kill husbands, lovers, or relatives for financial gain. They're almost always women. And 90%, this is interesting, use poison to kill their victims. Give you some high-profile examples of that. Diana Lumbrera killed her 6 children for insurance money. Nanny Hazel Doss killed 4 husbands, 2 sisters, and 1 mother. Lydia Trueblood killed 4 husbands, 1 child, and her brother-in-law. And Amy Gilligan killed 5 husbands and several patients. She was a nurse. And then the last subcategory in that gang killer list are what is known as cost cutters. They kill to save money, believe it or not. An example of that, a guy named Joseph Brigham killed 12 ranch heads when he was due to pay them. And he fed the 12 people to his prize-winning pigs. And there was a guy named George Grossman. He killed over 50 people, and he put the meat, get ready for this, into his hot dogs. And let me tell you about Joe Ball. He operated during the 1930s. He killed at least 5 people, but they're thinking probably more like 14. They just couldn't tie the other ones to him. They were all waitresses at his tavern known as the Sociable Inn in Texas. He threw them into a pit with 5 alligators in the back of the tavern. Of those hedonist serial killers, there's also what's known as power seekers. Ted Bundy, definitely one. They want to kill to exert power over strangers. David Berkowitz would be another one. Ed Kemper would definitely fall under that list. And I'm going to give you a little information on some serial killers that maybe they're not as well known as others, but they did some pretty fucked up shit, to say the least. And some of them even worked in teams. Gwendolyn Graham and Catherine Wood, they were nurses in a nursing home in Alpine Manor, and they killed 5 patients in that nursing home. Their initial plan was to spell murder with the first letter and the last name of each victim. Can you believe how these people think? So you got to find 6 patients, and the first letter of the last name has to line up to say murder. They thought that would be cool. Graham actually did all the killing, Gwendolyn Graham, and Catherine Wood, she would keep watch while Graham killed these people. There was a guy named Henry Landau. He was in France, and he actually romanced more than 300 women out of their money during the early 1900s. He would run a personal ad. He would meet the women. This is back in the early 1900s. Who knew they even had personal ads back then? But he would meet the women. He married and killed 10 of them, and he put their bodies in an oven, to dispose of them.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
How about revenge killers? It's just what you think it is. They kill for revenge. There was a lady named Martha Wise. She killed 3 family members opposing her marriage. Ellen Etheridge killed 4 of her 8 stepchildren because she was jealous of their relationship with her husband. And a lady named Martha Johnson, she had 4 fights with her husband, and after each fight, she would suffocate a child as revenge. And she suffocated them by laying on top of them. This woman weighed 250 pounds. Crazy. And I mentioned disorganized and organized serial killers a little bit, just to explain to you what that means. It's just a classification the FBI uses. Look, if you're caught and you're a serial killer and you're someone that drives to the scene, okay, versus walking or taking a bus, that would fall under an organized serial killer. If the victim is a low-risk victim, Holly Homemaker, you know, everyday person, does all the right things most of the time, they're considered low risk, and organized serial killers go after them. Whereas high risk victims, exotic dancers, prostitutes, things of that nature, they're high risk. Disorganized serial killers go after them. Ted Bundy was an organized serial killer. He didn't go after prostitutes. He went after low-risk victims, and they're considered low-risk because of the victim's lifestyle, not the serial killer, right? An organized serial killer follows the news. He follows the crime in the news. He follows his crime or her crime in the news. A disorganized serial killer doesn't. They don't even read the paper, right? So that is a way of figuring out if it's a disorganized killer or not. Typically, a disorganized serial killer will have alcoholism in their family. Usually, they got a lot of mental illness in their family, where an organized serial killer, a lot of times they find their family unit was pretty strong. The father's work, typically a disorganized serial killer, almost always their father's work was either unstable or they didn't have a father in the household. They find with organized serial killers, usually there's a stable job by the father in the family, and the father is active in the family. Organized serial killers are almost always more intelligent. Their employment is usually active. They're not unemployed. They don't have what would be considered menial jobs. And organized serial killers are usually considered attractive. They're usually more attractive killers. Self-image, your disorganized serial killers will feel inferior versus an organized serial killer who will feel superior. And disorganized serial killers are usually loners. They don't have a lot of friends. They don't hang out with a lot of people. Organized serial killers, they find, are very outgoing. So that is how they profile them in the FBI to start. And through that, through all of that knowledge, you can start to gain a complete profile. It's very interesting, and it really gets into the criminal mind. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for supporting us. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman for Woody Overton. We are your host of Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.